what is the stories of these people? You know, hopefully every person we talk to is going to give us some little nugget that they're going to feel comfortable giving us. They wouldn't feel comfortable giving to you, Will. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing. That's just what we're trying to build, or anybody. I'm not Will in general, but just like something that we've built that relationship with them, that in the show's format allows them to give that little extra nugget, that whatever it, that's just gold. And that golden nugget there is something that the audience really needed to hear.
You're listening to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, a podcast for those who are in and around the hospitality industry who love, live, and breathe what they do. You can join us for candid and unscripted conversations with hospitality experts and founders as we go deeper into their personal stories while they're sharing their triumphs and trials that got them to where they are today. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and you're listening to an episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now, let's begin. In hotels and vacation rentals, the top complaints or issues are noise, garbage, and parking. I may not be able to solve all of your parking and garbage problems, but I could definitely help with your noise problems. And that actually might just help your garbage and parking problems too. So NoiseAware is the only 100% privacy-safe noise monitoring solution that property managers and owners can use in order to ensure they avoid parties and other issues happening at their property. You won't get notified when a plate breaks, but if you have a little quiet get-together that kind of gets out of hand, like this, then NoiseAware will give you the peace of mind to ensure that you and your property, and of course, your profits, are protected. So use my code SLICKTALK20 to get 20% off of all noise monitoring devices and focus on the other important things that help you run your business. Now, thank you for checking out Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Get back to the episode, and don't forget to check out NoiseAware while you're listening. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. And man, the faces on John and Mateo right now are so good, because that's the second time I've actually played the intro for the new intro for the show. So you guys faces say it all. I'm super excited to have you on. But if you are a first-time listener, we are diving into the stories of Mateo and John, who are the hosts of the Short-Term Rental No BS podcast, or if I got that wrong, the No BS Short-Term Rental podcast. So
there you go.
Welcome to Slick Talk, you guys. I'm so excited to have you on. How you been?
Man. Awesome, man. Thank you for having us.
Of course.
Love the new intro.
It's a little longer than what I normally would do, but with that beat, we're just like, all right, got to get people pumped up.
Got to get the head bop in there, man. Like, for those who are watching on video, man, it's all about the bobble.
It's all about the bobble.
Definitely makes you nod your head a little bit.
I love it. Well, just a quick backstory for all the listeners. John and Mateo have been doing their own podcast. You guys have passed, what, 27 episodes now? 28?
We just recorded episode 30 this morning.
Perfect. Yep. So you guys have passed that statistical number of podcasts that get to 10 and or don't even make it to 10 but quit. So you've passed that. I was honored to be a guest on your guys' show. We got to chop it up and have a little bit of a different conversation than I'm used to. But now I get to do the favor and return to you guys and have you on. So I'm really excited, because you guys have both cool separate stories, but you guys coming together and creating what you have is even like a more of a fun aspect to jump in, because it's been pretty recently new, and yeah, there's all sorts of cool stuff happening. So I think we're going to start with Mateo. Mateo Bradford, my man. So
what's up, brother?
Let's jump into your story really quick on how you got into hospitality, short-term rentals, and what you're currently doing in the space outside of the podcast.
Wow, man. How I got into short-term rentals, I blame Andrew McConnell, Mickey Croft, and Michael Golden for bringing me into this space.
Those are good guys.
Started,
Good guys.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's absolutely all their fault. No, but grateful actually for them. You know, I started out with Rented when Rented was a marketplace transitioning into the Rented Capital Fund. My background previously to that was a securities broker. And was, you know, not in this space at all. Not even, I mean, I, you know, booked Airbnbs for stays and, you know, caught because it legitimately was on Airbnb, not just short-term rentals.
Legit.
But had no real knowledge of the industry and was like this. And once I got in there, I was like, oh, this is actually, this is really cool. I was like, this opportunity was something that was miles away from, you know, the financial, you know, world that, that I was coming from. And it, it just started from there, working with the team at Rented and building out that Rented Capital Fund. And it just grew, you know, as the company transitioned, you know, was ingrained in the industry and knew that this was the place where I was going to plant my flag and really, really dig in. It really felt like home. And so, from there, you know, I transitioned out and that's actually how I met John. It's not far, not too long after I got in at Rented. And, you know, rode that out until about February of 2020, man, when the world changed. And
yeah,
that was, you know, at that time I was doing international stuff with Rented and when the world shut down, transitioned to some new things that, you know, that we're doing now. And one of those is the No BS Short-Term Rental podcast that John and I are doing. So I don't know, John, you want me to go into to how we met? Because I can give our side of it. I think it's actually really interesting.
Well, tell a little bit about At Ease and then we can kind of
Figured we'd get to where we were.
I have one question for you, though, Mateo. You said felt like home. And I've used that phrase a couple times on the podcast where hospitality is home. I had that same moment with you, not with you, but like you, where I was like, I don't want to do anything else. I'm dying in hospitality, or if I'm not in hospitality, I'm like, I'm not here. There's no point. So what was that? Was there a particular moment for you? I'm just curious. Was there that one?
No, I can highlight. There's been several, but I think it was early. I mean, my first or second week at Rented was VRMA International.
We all got to meet there just a couple, like a month ago. So yeah, that was so cool. So cool to have.
And so it was really that it was going there. And I honestly, man, I felt like I was on Mars. I didn't know where the bleep I was. It was great, man. I was there with Golden and Andrew, and that's when I met Cliff, and it was just off. Like I you know, coming from the finance world, man, like people weren't, you didn't see the camaraderie, you didn't see that vibe was not there. And it was really, that was it. That's what drove me in, man. That, you know, you had competitors that were, they you know, worked against each other in the business space, but they were also jovial and like, hey man, go talk to that guy. He's my competitor. His business sucks, but he's a great guy. You should go talk to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the Twilight Zone. I was like, this shit can't be real. I was like, there's no way. I was like, these people are faking. Like, you know, they talk about each other behind their back. Like, this isn't cool. But it didn't. It just built from there and really getting, you know, the goodness of the space, the essence of hospitality, that, you know, people were really here because they cared about their business and their business was taking care of people at the end of the day. And that human component let me know that, hey, number one, this is a space that, you know, I like culturally to a certain extent. We'll talk a little bit about where that kind of split off, but I was welcomed in this space, and I've had really great experiences and met some incredible people and built some really solid relationships within this business really quickly. And that's what drew me in and drew me home. And on top of that, seeing that there is so much potential for growth within this industry and coming in at a time where the industry is having this seismic shift in technology and the way that business is done and who's running that business. Those were all of those ingredients that I really, you know, when I say it felt like home, kind of, you know, came together in aggregate and made me kind of cement my flag in the space, if that makes sense.
I love that. And then we actually had you on the podcast separately with Anthony from At Ease. So tell me, how did you guys link up?
So, and that is in where I'm at with At Ease right now, with strategic development. Shout out to Anthony. You know, At Ease is also, it feels like home. It's, you know, if you know me, you know, this is a wonderful fit in being able to build the partnerships with a company that is, you know, to both of you who are service, who have served and are serving, you know, I hope my gratitude comes off as sincere, because it is. And those who, you know, if you know me well, those, regardless of what you think about military and things like that, that is a selfless act. And people who do those selfless things, you know, resonate with me. And so when I was at, when I was able to connect with Anthony, which we actually, so we actually met through one of our former clients at Rented, who was working with Anthony at the time. And I loved the idea. I was like, this is amazing. And I was like, whatever I can do to help within this space would be, you know, I'd be happy to do so. And started out, you know, as kind of an ad hoc advisor, but really ingrained and met with Anthony and helped him develop, you know, this, how we can build and marry the short-term rental part of his business and part of that business to the, you know, the federal government military travelers who, you know, are a great fit for our industry. And so we found out we were actually fraternity brothers from different colleges, but the same fraternity. And so, you know, Anthony and I just had that chemistry from the beginning, man. Like we think the same a lot of times. Now we do butt heads sometimes, but it's always for the good. And we're very much so
passionate. You butt head with Anthony?
Man, but it's like, in a good way, man. Look, Anthony's a, you know, Marine, and they're only going to butt heads, but so far, because I'm not crazy. Like, Anthony is he coming into this space was enough. It's like all of the pieces that fit well together. Like it wasn't forced. For me, sure. Working with that is a no brainer. And you know, it's something I'm proud to be a part of, and proud to help, and proud to be a part of the genesis and the growth in that, and was able to come in and actually make a significant impact relatively quickly. And, you know, grateful for so many reasons. Like, you know, being able to go through this founder's journey with Anthony and seeing all of the bull S a founder of color is going through in this space, and everything that, you know, taking this incredible idea and working with him to farm this out and getting that experience. It's been incredible. But it also allows me to do this, and it allows me to do other things. So being able to put all the right pieces of the puzzle together that, you know, I don't have to sacrifice me or who I am. And I'm internally grateful for this space to be able to do that. Cause a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people are work jobs where they're limited in what they can say and what they can do and what other projects they can run. And I've been blessed to be able to do these things without those limitations. And, you know, hopefully working as a bridge builder to others who want to do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because that's like the most clear way to say to other people in this outside of the space. They're like, oh, you could do this, you get to do that. You say that on work calls with your advisors or with this or with that. It's like, hell yeah, because this is the space. Like, yeah, we love the business, but we also like, we're not afraid to chop it up and make sure that like shit gets done. Right. So, at the end absolutely. Of the day, it's and the really differentiator part that I love. And then we'll move to John, because I know John's got a cool story, too. But like that we're all very passionate people. We're very, very, very passionate. So it's like it's not a dull conversation where like our emails aren't just like, oh, let me circle back to that. It's not like, all right, let's chop this up. Let's go. And the people are like, it's in depth, especially on phone calls and Zooms. And so I love it. I think that's the coolest part. Awesome. So John, my man.
Yeah.
Let's jump in. How the hell did you get into short-term rentals, hospitality? Cause I know, Mateo mentioned you were a service member as well. Once you got out, let's talk about what's the transition. What was the story?
Yeah. I'll give you the super abridged version until I got into the space. Let's see, 4 years active Army, 10th Mountain Division. I was a heavy equipment operator. So I got out, I moved to, in 2006, moved to, Western PA, where my wife is from. And I was, running heavy equipment. I did that for a couple of years, used my GI Bill, got a degree in web design development, and kind of started my own little, web design development company. it was kind of, you know, running your own business in a rural town, it wasn't really panning out, working really hard, having some great ideas, answering ad to sell, you know, cause ultimately I've always been a salesman.
Yeah.
So I answered an ad to sell lumber of all things. It was a 20-minute drive down to this lumber mill. And, you know, I kind of liked it, and it was a more secure paycheck for my family. You know, sure. That time I was, you know, four kids probably then. it was three or four at that time. And
like,
we stopped at
like
four.
Anthony from At Ease, who had like eight kids.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there's another. No, we stopped at four. So I sold lumber for, you know, I hardwood lumber for a little bit. And we had an opportunity to move down to Tennessee to help a company that had never dried lumber before, and they've only sold green lumber. And so they're getting into this, and they didn't know, and they needed someone that could help sell it. So I took that job and we moved my family down to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And we friggin' hated it.
Yeah.
It was the South was not necessarily for us, or at least it was 45 minutes west of Chattanooga, so it was in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And you know, wasn't used to the humidity and the maybe they call them palmetto, they're cockroaches, and mildew and all this
water,
and all this
water bugs,
yeah
whatever you want to call them. My wife and I were not fans. And so I got out of the space, and I was looking on Indeed, and here we transition to the short-term rental space. I answered an ad for Ascent Processing. It was remote work, so I took a job with Ascent. I stayed there, and we're like, hey, I'm working remote, we don't have to be here anymore. And so we moved back north, and now we live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But so a couple of year and a half with Ascent, 10 months with True Place, I learned so much. I mean, Ascent really, when I took that job with Ascent, it was selling payment processing is like the most unsexiest job in the whole world. Like it is, it's horrible. At the same time, the people were passionate, and like going to like my first event was Streamline Summit of all events. And I'm like, wow, like this is how, like, these people are passionate, and like then the Streamline team was passionate. You know, ultimately Ascent and then True Place weren't my, you know, final stop. I thought my final stop would be TravelNet and Track. I gave Track 2 years. And they were amazing, and like I really believe in the software. It's a fantastic software. And most recently, like 5 weeks ago now, I transitioned to Hopper. So I'm the senior market manager at Hopper Homes division, that vertical. And we're building out, we're bringing the vacation rental to the Hopper OTA. And so I'm super excited to be, it's very much a startup.
Yeah.
It's what I haven't been able to do at any of my other jobs, but it's my passion to actually build something and put my name on it and really, so it was really a perfect fit and a great transition. And I've never been happier.
That's dope.
So career wise I get to do this podcast with you today, but it's based on the fact that, you know, Teo and I met 5 years ago in Gatlinburg, on the Kearney circuit and, early in our, when we first got into the space, like we connected and we connected and it was a weird conference. Like, just if you've never been to Gatlinburg before and you're listening to and you've never been to that, like the Smoky Mountains in Sevier County and like that whole area there, Pigeon Forge, Sevierville, Gatlinburg, it's a different animal. And if you've been to say Myrtle Beach, but think of Myrtle Beach and like, or like a boardwalk anywhere like that, and all the interesting things that can happen on a boardwalk, and then throw it in the middle of like a nationalist forest. And add moonshine. It's weird, but amazing. That community is amazing. But that's where Teo and I met, and we formed a friendship. And you know, in those early conversations we had about b- both new coming to the space and both like really wide eyed, but also being like, wow, we love this space. Like, this, like we could see the potential and we could see like the energy and like the, like that surrounding conversations. And like, we just, you know, we've been probably talking about coming together and doing something for a couple of years leading up to this, but we really didn't know what it was. And then we're like, well, shit, if Will can do it, we could do it. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's good. Well, I was going to say, what, like, dude, so this is like the crazy part for me is that, you know, I've been doing the podcast almost 4 years in March. So very, like, I don't know, it's been a big, big learning journey. But then there's been, you know, COVID happened, and there's a lot of these podcasts that popped up. A lot of them disappeared once the world opened up because sales are back and they don't need to worry about content and marketing and blah, blah, blah. So, but the real podcasts, the ones that are really in it about the value add, the connection, the community, the passion, and the sharing of the stories, all the stuff that we talk about, they've stayed like you guys. And so what were the moments that you guys were like, hey, let's create a podcast. And I guess maybe tell me about that conversation and leading up to creating the No BS Short-Term Rental Podcast.
I mean, ultimately I think that, you know, we looked at the other podcasts in the space, yours, we looked at, you know, and some of the, you know, and not necessarily yours so much, but there are lots of tips and tricks podcasts.
Lots of that.
And we're like, okay, we definitely don't want to do that. But, you know, we're kind of think back, like what motivates us and what kind of gets our juices flowing, and what, you know, it's these conversations that are in depth that, you know, that might've happened around at a bar or, you know, the floor of a show, you know, at a trade show. These are the conversations we wanted to have. And a lot of what, you know, Mateo and I, you know, like talked about weren't necessarily like topics that were maybe PC, you know, they were like, but what about this? What about that? Like, I think that's, you know, that's bullshit. Or like, we didn't really get like there's a lot of the trajectory in the way the space is going. And we're like, well, what if we talked about it this, or what if we brought light to it this way? And I think that's kind of where we saw, you know, we could really bring a different feel and a different, you know, a different light to different, especially, and there's a lot of topics we're really passionate about that no one else will talk about. And we'll, you know, I think that us willing to have that conversation really lets people put their guard down and be themselves. And, you know, we've gotten, you know, mixed type of, you know, reactions while in conversations and out of conversations, but it's exactly what we're looking for.
Right. So I guess, all right, there's a lot of pull from that. So for the podcast itself, having these conversations, like I don't know if a lot of listeners on the consumer side of a podcast, like people that have never thought about doing one, or they thought about doing one, they're like, no way I can get in front of a microphone and talk about X, Y, and Z. For those who never kind of experienced this side of the mic, you know, there's a lot that goes behind the production of podcasting, the conversation. But having these conversations it's a very vulnerable spot, because you do have to, not that you have to like be in a certain box, but there's definitely some structure. There's some, I don't know, just from my perspective of having this podcast, but for you guys, when you're creating the formation of, you know, we're going to go outside of this box, we're going to have these conversations that people don't want to have, that can make some people uncomfortable, but in a good way, because they've never been exposed to this type of perspective or this side of a different story that they're used to seeing on the media, whatever it may be. Kind of tell me, like, what has that response been from your listeners? And Mateo, I would love to even just kind of get your perspective on what has happened ever since becoming a podcast host and hosting these types of conversations on your guys' platform. Hey, I hope you guys are enjoying this episode, and I wanted to drop in quickly to let you know that our partners at Jetstream have some of the best-in-class technology that sits at the heart of the guest experience, with a focus on generating revenue for your property assets. With their platform, your property gets the best-in-class tech and integrations to remote access, guest screening, booking protection, and payment processing. Better yet, their team does all of the hard work of 24/7 guest communication and content creation. So go ahead, click the link in the show notes so you can jump on board today and take advantage of their professional hospitality team. Now, we're back to the episode.
I think you're right about that. So let me be clear. Like, I'm not a person that does well. I don't like the sound of my own voice. Yep. I'll just be very clear. But I think
I don't either like the sound of your voice.
I appreciate that, John. I'm going to make sure that I now I'm going to record the voicemail and torture you all the time with just the sound of my voice. But I think one of the things that was, you know, very important for John and I, you know, when we were having conversations, that, you know, over time, is there's a certain level of authenticity and just vulnerability, I guess, also at the end of the day too. You know, we don't have to get on here and pretend to be, we're not caricatures, we're not coming on here. You know, we wanted to build a platform we could have a conversation that John and I would have had at the bar. Yep. Or would have had, you know, on the phone, or just had, you know, with two, just hanging out with people and really keeping a level of just, this is who we are.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, for better or for worse. And, you know, the thing that I've always appreciated is, you know, with my relationship with John, is there's a baseline level of respect, but there's also a baseline, you know, level of honesty that we're able to have with each other that comes from the comfortability in the space that we create. And we wanted to be able to expand on that, because that's one of the gaps that we saw. Yeah. Within, you know, the industry was, you know, all right, people are having lots of conversations about different topics, and, you know, there's, and not to knock these things, like anything that's making the industry better or making people better, like, I'm not knocking tips and tricks. Like, we say that, but that's not a derogatory term. It's just how we differentiate ourselves from what we do within the space. And we wanted to create, you know, a conversational experience that was authentic to who we're talking to, that allowed us to be authentic at the same time, and, you know, and grow from there. And so particularly, you know, it required a level of vulnerability that I give to the people that are in my circle, that are close to me. Yeah. But, you know, and naturally being able to do this on the mic now, it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be, because I just speak what's in my mind, what's on my heart. And, you know, and that part is something that I actually found out that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know that until we got into this space. Like, I could talk to you guys and, you know, we could have conversations off the cuff or off the mic, off the camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope that I'm that same person that you see, you know, in the podcast, that you see in those conversations as well.
For sure. And that's the biggest thing I told people in the beginning, when I had sort of slick talk with a $20 mic on a piece of crap laptop and had no idea what the hell I was doing with a $5 intro from Fiverr, was you eventually get rid of that. Like, you stop seeing the microphone. Like, you just do. You do a couple episodes. It's very intimidating. At least it was for me, because I'm like you, Mateo. I hated the sound of my voice. And eventually you get rid of, once you find that, I remember a Stuart Butler, who was the host of Fuel Hotel Marketing Podcast, and he was a guest on my show. I got to be a guest on theirs. Mm-hmm. And he said to me privately, off the record, was like, you know, when you found your passion for the industry, when you started showcasing, like, your passion for guest experience and connecting with people, whether they were gay, they're straight, they're whatever, like, you just found your not niche, yeah, but you found your drive. You found your go-to like source of energy to tap into every time you get on a recording. And I think a lot of people, like, it's cool to see those moments. Like, I can genuinely go through all of your guys' episodes and probably find that there's a moment in one of the first beginning episodes where you guys tapped into that. And eventually, like, that's just what's been pushing through. I've done, you know, I've heard that on other podcasts. And so it's a really cool thing to find. I'm a podcast, the power of podcasting behind the scenes as a host of a show is really, like, really powerful as a personal growth side. Now I kind of want to rephrase the question back to you guys on give me the dirty details, the good, the bad, the ugly of the response from your guys' show when you're having these type of conversations, because I think, you know, everyone wants to think that they're going to start a podcast and it's all going to be great. Everyone's going to love it. Everyone's going to give you 5-star reviews. Everyone's going to say, you're so good. Oh my gosh. Like, you're the best. But it's not the case. I got a couple 1-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and whoever did that, I hate you. Just kidding. But that type of stuff does happen. So I'm kind of curious for you guys with this type of conversation. It's very different in our space. There are some people kind of talking about it, but they're very much scratching the surface. So I really want to hear from the back end on you guys.
Yeah. I think for us, and John, I'll just go and I let you go. For us, I don't think we gave a shit in the beginning. Like, we wanted to do what we wanted to do within this space. And for us, not that we don't care about reviews and things of that nature and putting out a good product. We do care about that. But I don't think we came into this with these huge expectations of what this was going to be. We just knew what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And we knew what we wanted to create in terms of the, you know, kind of culture of conversation that we were bringing together. And, you know, it just kind of rolled from there. We did one, we were like, all right, this works. I think we can do this. All right. And then, you know, we rolled into two and three and four. And then our first episode
took us like 3 or 4 weeks to actually get the courage to like, all right, no, we're really going to do this. We're ready. Oh, no, we're not. No, we're ready. No, you know.
If we wanted, what's our format going to be? And like but I think once we actually got on the mic and actually just knocked it out, we realized this was something that we could do.
Yeah.
And something that we enjoy doing too. That was an extension of things that we'd already been doing and conversations that we were already having, because I don't want to belittle the time in which we created this podcast. And for me, you know, the authenticity of mine and John and I's relationship came from conversations that were happening prior to us putting this podcast out. And, you know, vulnerability, you know, in terms of questions and authenticity in terms of things that we were able to talk about as friends and colleagues, honestly, that we were like, these conversations need to be expanded for the better of our industry, for the better of our business, and for the better of us as individuals, the betterment of us as individuals. So, and John, that was my understanding of it. John, I'll let you expand.
No, it's mine too. And, you know, I think it all started, you know, I mean, back, you know, again, we've talked about this a lot, you know, the conversation where I knew that Mateo and I could talk about anything and that we were friends anyways, but it was more of a friends when we crossed paths.
Yeah.
But like when I reached out to him during the whole George Floyd incident, I had a lot of questions and I didn't know how to talk to people about it. And I put my vulnerability out there in front of Mateo, and shit, we ended up having an amazing webinar based all on it. We had a great panel. We've now continued into Verma. There's a subcommittee that's been all, you know, kind of sparred up on, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion. And it was all kind of, you know, started on a conversation that Mateo and I had. And, you know, and it's all positive. Everything that, like, all the positive things. And, you know, Mateo and I can look at it and be like, oh man, it's positive, but it's going so slow, or this should have happened so much, you know, so many, you know, years ago, or like, we're not seeing the results we'd like to see. But in the end of the day, it's still positive.
Yeah.
And these conversations we were having, and now we're having conversations with, you know, on LGBTQ+, we're having conversations on big versus small business. We're, you know, we're calling out without calling out. Cause we're at the end of the day, we're not going to take a side one way or another. But at the same time, we'll always play devil's advocate in a conversation. You know, yes, just yesterday we recorded the podcast that's going to come out this week, and we're not afraid to ask, you know, that's all great, but what about this? Or, you know, this, you know, there's certain people that look at it this way, and what are your thoughts on that? And so I think that we're able to kind of scratch a little bit deeper, because at the end of the day, we're doing this for, you know, ultimately we did it for us, because these are conversations we wanted to have. And then we realized that we should be sharing these conversations, because there's a lot of great insight. And I'm not saying from us, it's from our guests. Like we're able to go ahead and add to it and keep the conversation going, because we have a great rapport. We can bounce things off each other. I can give him shit and he give it back to me. And I think that's part of the chemistry. That's great too.
I love that. And yeah, I think you know, just being self-aware, I think there's a lot of us that need to, not need to in the sense of do it, but need to be more aware of, like, there are moments where you can play devil's advocate more. You know, when I look back on some interviews I've done and some big founders or some great startups or whatever, and be like, man, I wish I did ask, like, what about the opposite? Like, all right, that sounds great. Like, it sounds like you guys have a great business. You're making tons of money. You've raised a ton of capital. You have a growing team, But what the hell about this? Like, you know, like, what about the operators that don't operate this way? They don't like their arbitrage model. Right. They don't like this or whatever. Like, you know, there's times that I've definitely, I can think of a couple in the top of my head right away. So I think that you guys are intentionally going out and doing that definitely does separate that, I guess that, a differentiator from podcasts, right?
I think subconsciously, like, one of us, you know, sometimes, and it's not on purpose, but it just happens because we built this rapport together. It's like almost like a good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
And I don't always play good, and Teo doesn't always play good. We just kind of, but it's just, it works, and it wouldn't work if it was just one of us, the same way it works with the two of us.
Yeah. Well, can I ask then, so what's outside of the conversations that you guys are having with the type of the guests that you're bringing on the show, What's next? What's the goal? Where do you guys see yourselves taking this within the industry? I'm genuinely am curious because I think, you know, we talked about, you know, at Verma, the regulation panel was one of the least attended, plus the other one about inclusion was one of the least attended. But where do you guys see, like, this is the great thing about podcasts is that they pretty much live forever. Like, you record this content, it's out there forever on multiple platforms, on your laptop, whatever. Where do you guys see that voice, that carry through going?
I think it's continuing to expand on what we've been doing. You know, what we want to do is highlight the culture, the news, and the people of this industry in a way that they're not typically seen. Or typically engaged around. And so the value of our industry is the people that make it up. And so we really want to continue to be that honest voice and that honest conversation, that candid conversation that really highlights not just, you know, hey, this is the shining, you know, spotlight of this person over here, but shit, this is their story. This is how they got here. This is, you know, what they think about current events going on. This is what they're doing, you know, and this is what they want to do in the future. And the more we can continue to have those conversations in the midst of everything else that's going on in the world around them and in around our world, you know, that's what we want to do without being able to have to curtail those conversations to, you know, not offend somebody. I mean, we're not going to go out with the intent of offending somebody, but we don't want to be biting our tongue because we might ask a question that someone, you know, may stumble on or may have to spend some time thinking about, or, you know, may be a little bit like, oh shit, I didn't know he was going to ask that, or that didn't, oh, I didn't know. Like, we don't care. It's not scripted, right? Like, none of this is scripted. We want it to be authentic, and we want to know what people really think, not what people have mulled on and had time to create and call and you know, create, you know, steady answers for. And so I think that's one of the things that I know John and I talk about this all the time. Like, we think the sky's the limit for where we can go with this. But I think the most important thing for me and I think for us is being able to keep that authenticity in terms of the product that we put out and keep the authenticity around the conversations that we're having and never make them canned and not have them be, you know, something that just kind of falls in line, I guess. Because that's just not what we set out to do. That's not what the type of a podcast that we wanted to create.
Yeah, I think ultimately, if we were to go ahead and be told, like, hey, this is how you have to do it, or this is, you know, like, either from you know, say my job, you know, the job that pays the bills right now, or, you know, say, hey, by the way, I don't want you talking about that. I think you know, that's an unfortunate, you know, I try to think of it as, you know, like, you ever on social media and you get this fact checker that pops up and they're like, and the fact checker is either right and it's wrong, but there's really two perspectives of it, but the fact checker is saying it's wrong or this is the correct answer. And I like that what we're doing is we're like a fact checker with two answers or three answers, you know? So like, we want the whole story. We want that. We want multiple perspectives. We want, you know, we're talking hospitality, we're talking, you know, short-term rentals. So we want the perspective of the host or the property manager and the guests and the, you know, we want the full story and the maintenance people and the housekeeping team and the operations. Like, what is it really like?
Yeah.
You know, and what is the stories of these people? You know, hopefully every person we talk to is going to give us some little nugget that they're going to feel comfortable giving us. They wouldn't feel comfortable giving to you, Will. Mm-hmm. And that's nothing yet. Like, that's just what we're trying to build, or anybody. I'm not Will in general, but just like something that we've built that relationship with them that in the show's format allows them to give that little extra nugget that whatever it, that's just gold.
Yeah.
And that golden nugget there is something that the audience really needed to hear. And if we could do that, then we're doing our job. And I think ultimately to kind of expand where, you know, where we'd like to see this going. All right. You tell us.
I don't know. All right. Can we, can I say it? Or can I say it?
Yeah. Right? You say it. We're willing participants. Yep.
We're what?
We're signing up.
Oh, okay. I thought you said yeah. Will and his, never mind. I'm not even going to say what I thought you said.
That play on words.
No, that's cool. Well, like, and I think a lot of, and not to geek out on podcasting in general too much, but like being on the side of the mic, you get really good at kind of steering the conversation. Kind of, you hear a piece that John says and Mateo say, and then you know how to form them together 10 steps or 10 words ahead or 10 sentences ahead, whatever you want to call it. And then also those nuggets, man, like I get different nuggets than you guys get, because most of the time I'm geeking out about founders and entrepreneurism and depression and overcoming that. And like, how do you battle mental health and like other different things that I've struggled with? Like, I like genuinely tell this to my roommates all the time. Like, you know, there was a time where I had a friend pull me off a balcony, like from like, you know, it was a dark time in my life, but like finding different ways through exercise, through finally not living off of other people's expectations for my life, you know, whether it was my parents or for whoever, you know, like all this type of stuff, we all have different nuggets. And I think that that power inside podcasts that you get to take, not only as a host, like you get to carry on these conversations, but then everyone listening, like John said, like that audience needed that nugget. They needed that piece to walk away from and be like, wow, that was refreshing. Like, this is...
Yeah.
This is fresh. Like, this isn't a scripted, and there's nothing wrong with scripted podcasts, but like the scripted, like educational, you know, show or whatever. Like, I don't know. Anyways, not to geek out too much about it, but.
Yeah. Well, no, I think like Will, like, but we also like learning that, and it empowers others to do so, right? Yeah. Seeing, you know, you be vulnerable on podcasts lends a level of authenticity. Is like, yeah, that's a level of authenticity that we want too, right? Like within that space.
For sure.
And in order to create something that is real, which people will see right through if it's not, you know, you have to create a space that, you know, is safe. And I think that's what we want to do, is create that space to where people feel comfortable enough to share the whole story and share the real story and share that part to where, and it's just them, it's us too, right? Because we're sharing our side. It's a conversation, right? Like our guests are part of a conversation with John and I, right? They're part of a dialogue with John and I, and includes, you know, our experiences along with, you know, talking about theirs and the similarities and the differences and that whole gumbo mix of whatever you want to call that is, you know, what ends up being, you know, our product at the end of the day. And I think that's what we want to make sure that that recipe stays in line. But you know, we're open to willing and we're learning, and because we want to, we know what we want to produce in terms of that product and the effect. And I think how we're doing that and what we're sharing continues to evolve, but also not too much, because you know, it's who we are. There's not too much, there's not a whole lot to change.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that analogy too. You know, the recipe, the product. It's a good. That's a good way to phrase it. That's a really good way. I like that. Well, I know we haven't officially announced yet at this time of this recording, but by the time this comes out, you guys will be officially part of the Hospitality FM family. For anyone who's not, you know, hasn't,
Yeah, there you go.
For anyone who's listening for the first time, Hospitality FM is a hospitality podcast network. And basically, trying to bring in, I don't want to be a host of 20 shows, but I also know that there's an opportunity for more shows to be tied together in alignment for their missions, their values, their core beliefs. And Mateo and John, obviously, you guys have been a big part of that ever since I got to be on your show and dive into more. And Mateo, you and I have had a really good conversation when I was in Florida, and just having like that type of stuff happen, it was like, yeah, this is a good direction for the industry. And so I'm really excited that we're going to announce it December 1st. If you're listening to this episode, it's happening, and I don't want to take the spotlight, but just the reason why we're mentioning is because you guys are going to be in it, and the fact that you guys are one of the founding shows to be a part of it is really incredible, and I'm very excited and honored for it, because yeah, I've just been watching you guys since you announced the show that you're going to be doing it together. I was like, all right, let's watch. Like I've observed, yeah. And now we get to see you guys have recorded past 30 episodes and beat statistics and having really good conversations and are doing shit at, you know, VRMA and all these other conferences and stuff. It's just really cool. So I'm really excited and honored to have you guys into the family.
And we're honored to be part of the family, you know, truly, you know, we looked at what you were doing and I know I choked about it earlier. And the there's a lot of respect from Teo and I to you and what you're doing and the brand that you've built and this new HFM thing that's coming out. We're glad and excited to be a part of this from the beginning. Yeah. And it's here's to the future. You know, I'm excited to, you know, you were talking about the other day, and I can't remember, I think it was a social post you put. It was talking about earlier when you're in Oregon and you're, you know, the Christmas tree and this is Will's hotel.
Yeah.
This is Will's hotel. And that's the kind of thing there. That's why you do what you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that, I love that story. And, you know, when Mateo and I are at a conference or someone gives me a call or messaging me on LinkedIn and they talk about an episode they heard and something they hadn't thought of before, or like, wow, like what a different way to look at it. Or like, that's why we do what we do. And, you know, if we can help somebody and in turn, we're helping ourselves too. I mean, yeah, like, you know, selfishly, you know, this is fantastic for our careers. You know, if we're going to look at it that way too, it's yeah. not a bad thing to have great conversations with smart people that are way smarter than me. 100%. I learned something every day. I learned something today, you know,
100%.
Just one thing. But.
Well, I think there's two, Will, and we had talked, you know, for a while, like, you know, one of the things I love about this industry is the ability to collaborate
yeah.
and grow together. Exactly. Right. And to do these things together. And I think this really provided an opportunity for us to, you know, expand within that space and to work with you and work with others on something that we really enjoy doing.
Yep.
And, you know, sharing our passion for hospitality, sharing our passion for doing these podcasts, sharing our passion for people, you know, this, you know, coming together to continue to do what we all do individually, but also, you know, we love the potential for what can come out of this too creatively. You know, it's like sky's the limit. There's so many things that we're excited about, you know, potentially, you know, expanding in this space as well. So it just made sense. And doing it with people that, you know, we have a great rapport with, we respect professionally, you know, that know our work ethic and we respect theirs. It makes a lot of sense. And I think it's really going to be good for the industry to be able to have targeted, you know, the word media gets thrown around a lot, you know, whether it's a good or bad connotation in terms of however you take it. You know, it's personal, but I think we have the ability to put out some amazing product and to do it in a way that I think will be, you know, the industry will 100% be the beneficiary of everything we're able to put out. And I mean, the hospitality industry at large, yeah. for sure.
I love that. Yeah, because it's more than just short-term rentals. It's more than just tech. It's more than just mm-hmm. startups. It's everybody. And I read a post on LinkedIn yesterday. Hospitality is without borders. Hospitality is without without barriers, basically, where
yeah.
different cultures, religions, sexual orientations, people of color, races, everything, gender, all are together in one passion. And that's where I find, you know, it's really cool. I don't think you can find that many other places or many other industries. So the fact that we're in that yeah. industry is it's beautiful. So you guys know that at the end of every podcast, I like to give all of our guests the opportunity to share with the audience. Where can they find you? The best place? Is it LinkedIn? Is it email? Is it Facebook? Whatever you want. Where's the plug? So that way, if anyone listening to this podcast is just like, yo, I want to connect with these guys. I want to follow them. I want to do whatever. I want to listen to their show. Where's the best place to go? So I'll let whoever wants to go first share their shameless plug.
I guess I'll jump in. I can be found, John Stokinger on LinkedIn, but that's probably the best way to go get a hold and reach me. But as far as the podcast goes, we are the No BS Short-Term Rental Podcast.com. Yeah, we know it's a mouthful, but it truly makes the most sense. So the No BS Short-Term Rental Podcast.com. And also we have a LinkedIn page. We also have a Facebook page of the same name that I do not update. And that's my bad. So I need to go ahead and do so. So we're also on Facebook. And hopefully this partnership will help you.
Meta.
We love meta. How about you, Mateo?
Yeah. Easy ways to get a hold of me is LinkedIn, of course, and Mateo at PCS at Ease. Definitely big shout out to At Ease. All of you property managers who are not out there checking out At Ease, please check out At Ease. But no, that's, shout out to Anthony and the team there. And we're doing some incredible work and looking forward to continuing that work. So you can find me there. You can find me on the No BS Short-Term Rental LinkedIn page. But hey, we love your feedback. Thank you to all of you who have supported the podcast. Thank you for all of the guests that we've been able to come on. As this around Thanksgiving time, we're super grateful. So grateful for all of you. Grateful for Will. Grateful for you, John. And grateful for this opportunity to continue doing what we really love to do. Thanks again for having us, man.
Of course, I couldn't. Yeah,
thanks, man.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you heard it, Slick Talkers. Go ahead, check out the show notes. If you haven't already followed them, like and subscribe to their podcast. Go ahead and do it now. Everything will be tagged. And of course, you guys know we'll see you guys all again next week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to our show partners for making Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, possible. We hope you enjoy the show, and we would love to connect with you outside of the podcast. So you can follow us on all of our social media channels for daily hospitality content, or find us on slicktalkthepodcast.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'm your host, Will Slickers, and we will see you guys all again next week. What's up, all my Slick Talkers? This episode is brought to you by my friends at Hostfully. Now, these are the days where enough is enough with managing multiple calendars for your properties in order just to make sure you don't get double booked. And not having a website for your guests to get to know your story and book direct? You can stop stressing, at least a little bit, and check out my friends at Hostfully. Hostfully was created by hosts for hosts, and they understand the importance of centralizing operations, inboxes, calendars, and of course, keeping up with the times and the industry data. You can go to hostfully.com, use my code SLICKTALK20 to get access to their digital guidebooks and their property management software. I use them as well, and I love the simplicity of their product. Now, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. Now sit back and enjoy. What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast, then you are amazing, and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast.